And we're back once again, only on its last call. Last call with the alcohol, only on thelastcallpodcast.com. And joining me here on location, this man here. Well, if you are in the world of pro wrestling, you have been tuning in the last year or so, this man here is controversial. If you love him, he is a genius. He is a creative artist, and he is a man who brings smile to a lot of faces. If you hate him, you're probably Chris Jericho, Tony Khan, or any of the AEW people who look and go, why is he pointing out logic? Logic is not needed in wrestling. We can have Mona give you from Toontown Wrestling. I give you, it's Marvin. So Marvin, first, let's talk about the show here. It's if you've not seen it, it's Marvin the Movie Monster. You do reviews on wrestling. You do satire on wrestling. You do, you even talk movies here. What got you into this? And how much work goes into the site alone? Because this is not just like, somebody shows up, you're on, a little YouTube channel and you talk. There's like puppets, there's scripts and everything. Like, how much work goes into this?
Thank you. First of all, Chris, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. The idea originally was, I was sitting there and I would sit back and I would watch kind of the discourse going on, with the AEW versus WWE crowd. And I'd sit to myself, yeah, these people take themselves so seriously. Like they are like in this blood feud because, I thought it was ridiculous. And I said to myself, you know what? I feel like they need to learn to laugh at themselves a little bit. So I was like, I had been tossing around the idea for a while. I was like, I'd love to do the Critical Drinker. I found Nerdrotic, Geeks and Gamers, like all these sites that were just as mad about what was happening in pop culture. And I was like, it's happening in wrestling. It's happening in movies. It's happening in games and TV shows. And then I said to myself, I'm going to launch a channel kind of like this in the same vein, calling out, ridiculousness in media, pandering or, like things of that nature. And I launched the channel and originally it was movies and TV and games and wrestling all in one channel. And then everything, I was getting like nothing back from it. I was getting no response. I was throwing out things. I did my first ever song parody was about Kathleen Kennedy. And he wasn't getting much of a reaction. And I was like, I wonder what's going on here. So I did some research on how to grow. And it was like, well, you have to take things one at a time. Everything needs a niche. If you have four niches, you need four channels. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got to focus in on one topic here. And that topic was going to be wrestling because that is near and dear to my heart. It is, I think, the place where people need to learn to laugh at themselves a little bit more than most other places. I don't like to do things half-assed. I wasn't just going to be, another person sitting there in front of a camera talking about, Tony Khan this and Triple H that. And I wanted to make it fun and entertaining and funny with characters. So I got to a sewing machine and started making some puppets, and that's kind of how it happened. It was the first thing that we put out was, a couple of little short skits, but the first thing that really got attention was the Tony the Snowman right around Christmas. We launched on December the 19th. The channel officially got moving, and so we launched Tony the Snowman, and then it was zoom right off to the races.
So how much work goes into just one video? Because everything's it's easy. I just sit down and I talk, and we do a half hour segment. Yeah. There's research, there's development. You're being a puppet. So for you, how much time goes into just one episode? Forget about, a month worth, just one episode.
2 days. 2 days of work. The scripting process usually takes a day, which is because, you have to sift through so much news. And there's so much news that goes on the checklist that I want to get in for the week that doesn't make it in. I wanted to talk about the Chad Gable stuff this week. I wanted to talk about Kevin Kelly getting fired. And we didn't have room for it at all. It was just, absolutely no room. And because I don't want to make videos that are 45 minutes. They're already pushing it at 30 minutes in some cases. So for the headlines. And so the scripting process that takes about a day. I tend to write pretty fast, but when you're writing comedy, it's a lot of going back and rewriting and reading it out loud and trying to make sure that it flows in a certain way so that it gets the laugh. Then after that, it's, the performance process. You got to set up the green screen. I got to get the puppets. I got to, set up the camera and set up my my iPad with the script to be a teleprompter for me. And then it's just, filming each of the characters separately. Then it's editing it all together, doing all the production. I do everything myself. You know, hopefully in the future that won't be the case. But as of right now, I'm a one monster show. And yeah, we you know, I say we all the time. I guess I don't know why I do that. Maybe it's the royal we. Maybe the spirit of Queen Elizabeth is you know, taking over my furry little body. But it's just me. So it take like the production takes about another day. So yeah, 2 days of work.
Well, speaking of work, speaking of production, WrestleMania is upon us. It's going to be once again. It's going to be this coming weekend on the 30th and 31st of March.
Very exciting.
With a big thing here, it's well, give credit because Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes, they are doing overtime here. What's your thoughts on this? Because it's we know that night one's going to be Bloodline versus Rollins and Rhodes. Night two, yeah. Rollins versus McIntyre, Reigns versus Rhodes. How the hell are they going to pull that off? And how much do you look at that and go, wow, you know, somebody better not get injured in that first night or else they're
screwed. Right. Yeah, no, they better be treating Cody and Roman with kid gloves in there. So I think that it is it's definitely new. It's like a kind of a new way to utilize this two-night system that they've developed, as opposed to it feeling like two shows telling like two, you know, complete stories with like an opening, you know, mid-card and then a main event. You kind of have just one 2 day show now. You know, because like it's almost like the WrestleMania 30 where you had Daniel Bryan you know, wrestling Triple H in order to get into the main event. It's that same process, but stretched out over 2 days. I think that's actually pretty interesting. And I think it gives you some wiggle room as a storyteller to plant some seeds there. I mean, like you could have, you know, McIntyre club Rollins in the knee, you know, during that match. And then Rollins walks into, you know, his match with Drew on night two with a glaring injury that now can be worked on. There's a lot that you can do to set this up, and Cody, I would end with both Cody and Rollins like potentially injured, and then like you have both of them as like the fighting from underneath babyface, and then you can even build in from there. If Rollins does lose to Drew the next night, you have a built-in Rollins heel turn on Cody in the future because I stood with you and I lost everything because I stood next to you. You know, like it's good storytelling. It's some people are like, oh, it's predictable, but I'm like, good stories exist in that way, you know, like they can surprise you. There are only like a set amount of stories. Everything pretty much pulls from mythology, right? And the hero's journey is kind of what we've been on with Cody for the last 2 years. And we're starting to now see, you know, getting to the conclusion of that story, hopefully. And I think that it's definitely going to be, you know, even if you can see where it's going, the ride is what is the most important thing. It's the journey, not the destination on this one.
Here's a big criticism I have of this whole thing. It's sure. The Rock. And look, I get it. He, you know, he is part of TKO. He's a big name. They needed him, you know, in terms of, you know, star power in some ways. It feels like he's been shoehorned in because it started off, well, first he's, no, it's good. We're going to headline WrestleMania, Rock versus Roman Reigns, a dream match. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, dream matches are basically, you know, wishful thinking. And then fans basically threw this up going, no, we've now entered with The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Rollins. We still have no idea what the conversation was. And oh, by the way, The Rock's 50. And the last time he wrestled was 6 years ago. I mean, we talked about kid gloves. What the hell are they going to do with The Rock? Because we've seen before, older wrestlers, you know, when they don't wrestle for a long time, they can get injured.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with The Rock. We saw with The Rock. Didn't he tear his abdominal in the match with Cena?
Yes, that was 6 years ago. It's like, okay, So what are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, you know what? The one thing that I would say that I have not enjoyed with this entire thing is I feel for Drew and for Roman because I feel like they are getting overlooked in this situation. I feel like the Drew-Rollins match has almost kind of become a secondary affair here, like something no one's really talking about. And the feud right now is not Cody and Roman, it's Rock and Cody. And that is kind of a problem there for Roman. A guy's been champion for 1,000 days. And you're going into what might, I don't know if it will, but might be the end of that reign. And he's kind of not even really the main focus of the story.
How much of that is Rock's fault? How much of that, and I hate saying this because I do like Roman, but it's also Roman's fault. He's never been that guy that we envision in terms of, well, he's going to be the next John Cena. He's going to be the big personality, and he's just not. That's not who Joseph Inouye is. Mm-hmm. And it's not. And then look, You can't create personality. Some people have it, others don't. It's just life. I mean, how much is it his sort of fault that even with everything that he's done, and he's done great work, he's still not a guy that you look and go, give him the mic, let him talk 15 minutes, and he's going to just charm people or wow people. That's not his shtick.
Roman is an interesting case because for a very long time, they attempted to do the standard WWE main babyface, you know, like rinse and repeat cookie cutter with him. And it did not work because, like what you said, that ain't Joseph Anoa'i. That's not who he is. There was an old Paul Heyman motto, I guess, with ECW, where it was like, well, we have to work with what we have. We can't try to be something that we're not. So we have to accentuate the positive and hide the negative. And I think over the last several years, they have figured out how to do that with Roman Reigns. I think that, you know, you have a guy who is a gifted athlete and who is an imposing figure. And now you've put him side by side with one of the greatest mouthpieces the world of professional wrestling has ever, you know, spat out in Paul Heyman. And that's what made him cool, because one of the most effective things that Roman's facials are very good. During the Sami Zayn bloodline situation, when there was the heat with him and Jay, there was like, Sami goes, oh, the tribal chief said, and then Jay goes, I don't give a damn what the tribal chief said. And Roman just looks up. Like, he just looked up and there was this look on his face and the entire crowd got it. And it was such a pop. And I was like, that's something that's intangible. You know, that's something that you can't teach. That's presence. Roman has a presence. And I think that he is a legitimately, you know, tough superstar in the history of wrestling. I think he will go down as one of the best champions of all time. I think they've handled him very well the last couple of years, and I think a lot of the lingering resentment that people have for him comes from a place of they're still not happy that he won the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia 10 years ago, you know?
Here's the three guys who really feel bad for, though. The Usos and Solo Sikoa, because it's going to be Uso versus Uso. And a year ago, we were piping for that. This is going to be, you know, brother versus brother, which you can't do in really in regular combat sports, but in pro wrestling, it's the dream thing. Sikoa, we were looking for that. And it's almost like Solo's become just sort of, you can put anybody in there. Yeah, he just stand there and look menacing. And he's lost a lot of that. And Jimmy Uso, it's almost like, oh, he's here. Oh. Yeah. Doing this here. What the hell happened? And why is it that especially with Jimmy and Solo, that they're almost becoming like the Stooges?
They're Patterson. Yeah, Patterson and Briscoe. I hear you on that.
From younger people, you know, it's Jamie Noble and is the other guy. It's like, that's what they are, and it's sad.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is – you talk about how Roman has kind of been overshadowed by The Rock. Well, if Roman is being overshadowed by The Rock, what do you think is happening to Jimmy and Solo? You know, Solo got a big rub in the last year. I mean, like, he beat John Cena, you know, clean as a nun's bedsheets. A lot has been done for him, but I will agree that going into WrestleMania, like, what a difference a year makes with a lot of things with this WrestleMania, by the way, because, like, last year we were like, oh, Uso versus Uso, can't wait, it's going to be so good. And then, you know, we also were like, oh, Sami Zayn, can't wait to see. And now Sami Zayn is doing too much all of a sudden. Like, oh, no, we don't want Sami Zayn. Like, wait, what do you mean you don't want Sami Zayn? Last year you were saying you wanted him. And it's just so interesting how a year can really change the entire landscape in a company like WWE.
Well, at least with Sami, and this is, I think, the problem I think fans have. This feels like for Sami, I hate saying that because Gunther's done a great job. It's a step down. It's like, oh, Sami Zayn's going to hold the Intercontinental title. But we've held that now for, like, the mid-card act.
You know what? I don't see it that way. I see it now. Now, through Gunther, through his legitimacy and his long title reign, I believe that the IC title has been elevated back to the point where it's now – you can look at it once more as the title that Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Razor Ramon, and Steve Austin, and The Rock, and Triple H, you can see it as that again. It stopped being the title that, like, I don't know, the Masterpiece would get or something like that. Like, when they had Roman as the sole champion, they really worked hard to elevate the IC title and US titles. Now, I think the IC title has gotten the better rub, and I see it as being... I don't think they're trying to lower Sammy to the IC title. I think they are trying to elevate the IC title to Sammy. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but and I don't mean it that way, but it's like, is it the IC title that's gotten elevated, or is it Gunther that's gotten elevated? That's, as I said, it's the chicken and the egg. We could argue this for 2 hours and still not come to a conclusion, but...
I mean, the IC title has elevated some of the greatest stars in the history of the sport, the ones that I just mentioned. I mean, you know, Shawn Michaels was synonymous with that. Jericho was synonymous with it. You know, The Rock, the IC title elevated The Rock to the moon and back. I'd love to see it be that star maker again. And maybe that is the step that these guys need to get to the main event. I mean, like, the second Gunther loses that IC title, he is in the main event. It's not even a question.
Speaking of main event, and this is like a big criticism, I guess, of not the people, but the writers. It's Io Sky Bayley, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. It's both women's titles. And when Triple H took over, and when Vince basically is gone for good, knock on wood, everybody thought, okay, the women's division is going to be elevated and it's going to be bigger. And there's been times it has. And this feels just sort of like, we threw it together and it's great. And I don't know, is for Bayley, I've argued, well, you can't speak English, so we're limited.
Yes. The Bayley
and Becky, just there's something missing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just too much too soon. They threw this together. Like, what the hell is it just me, or is something feeling like missing?
It is. And you know what? And that's why I'm really not looking forward to the discourse that's going to happen over the course of this week when people realize that night one is going to be main evented by that tag match. You know, because there's so many people that think that EO and Bayley should be the main event of night one. And I'm like, why? Like, why should it? It's not really good. It is the better story of the two women's matches, but it's not a main event story. Bayley, I nothing but compliments about Bayley. I think she's great. I think EO is, I don't think she's bad. I never really got her as women's champion. You look at Bianca and Rhea and Becky and Bayley and Asuka and Charlotte, like they are like upper echelon. And I never saw EO as being on that level, I guess. But I don't know.
The English thing's a big factor because you can't do promos. You can't do interviews.
Yes.
And
they figured it out with Nakamura. Nakamura's promos have been spectacular the last couple since he started with the Cody stuff. When he's doing like the sinister Japanese promos with the subtitles, I love those.
He can at least speak enough English. It's accented, but he can speak it. So it's like, okay. I mean, have we heard Io speak any English at all? It's almost like
not that I know of. I mean, Asuka, not really either. Really, I mean, I can't remember Asuka speaking much English. That is the issue that you run into here. But I think, when you look over at the other side at Rhea and Becky, I think they went with the wrong match here. And no, I'm not talking about Liv Morgan. Like, that's a ridiculous argument. I'm talking about the match was Rhea and Bianca. That's the match. That's the match. The one that hasn't happened yet. You know, like that is like they are the Rock and Austin of the next generation of women's wrestlers. And that is the match. That match could have main evented in night one easily. Bianca and Rhea. Now, I don't remember. Do we even know what Bianca is doing at WrestleMania? Is she doing anything?
To this point, no. I mean, I throw her into some match, but, and this is my point with Bianca, because I know they want to turn her heel. They want to give her more attitude.
She would be so good as a heel. Oh my God. She would be so good as a heel.
And she would. How much because of everything, and this ties into Vince, because it feels like still Vince and everything is affecting her.
Yeah.
She is so good as a babyface, and she is such a powerful figure and an inspirational person, not just for black wrestlers anymore, but for just wrestlers in general. I mean, she's on ESPN. She's doing this. She's lovable.
She's a great spokesperson for the company.
Yeah. How tough has it been writing her as the old heel when it's like, you're going to hear, especially now, because this is why now The Rock's been brought back to take the stink off WWE. It's like, oh, they're going back to the old troop. Sassy black woman, angry black woman, that's gonna be the heel. It's like,
you know what,
the company's still just gun shy about doing anything controversial.
when Triple H has a way that he likes to book Bianca, we saw it in NXT. Bianca was a badass. And as a badass, she works because she is a badass. She is the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. Like that's a legitimate thing. You know, her gimmick is real. And, you know, she was this badass woman who was just throwing everyone around, and she got to the main roster, and now suddenly she's smiling and skipping and crying every week. And that was when I was like, yeah, I'm done with this now. Like, I didn't like it, but I've been liking seeing more of an edge to her. I think that you could keep her as a babyface with that edge. You know, we don't have enough badass babyfaces anymore. Like, the babyfaces are all like, you know, slapping hands and taking pictures with kids, and the heels are all dastardly. Like, we need, I think, more of that, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, I don't give a damn, anti-authority, whoop ass, you know, kind of heel, babyface. I mean,
can that work though in today's, especially corporate era? Because, and I feel bad even for Rhea, because she can't do what China did. The Me Too movement, Time's Up, all that, that's now affected pro wrestling in and outside the arena. I mean, you can no longer put hands on a female wrestler. We know it's scripted, we know it's fake, but
that was actually, from what I understand, that came from Mattel. When WWE signed the massive toy deal with Mattel, it was, you know, no blood and no male versus female, you know, fighting, which, you know, plenty of those women can beat up plenty of those men. So, yes. I mean, you know, we all saw, you know, Beth Phoenix could have ripped the balls off of just about anybody that was in the locker room at that time. But, yeah, it is a shame. Like, but I think that, I don't know, it's just the optics of, like, you know, throwing a close-handed fist, you know, from a male wrestler to a female wrestler. It's not ECW anymore where Tommy Dreamer was pile-driving women. You know, look, most female wrestlers love mixing it up with the male wrestlers. And they typically would be like, you know, do not hit me lighter than you would hit a guy. Like, they're badasses through and through. And, you know, it's a shame that you don't see that as much anymore or at all anymore. But I guess, you know, it's just kind of, it's the world that we live in, you know, and modern audiences and all that stuff. Like, the reason people are going to be up in arms about the main event, not because they feel that the match is good and it deserves it. They just want women to be in the main event, which I get. I mean, like, it's fine, but, like, you have to be realistic about making money. You know, nothing's main eventing over The Rock.
As we end this here, we're coming soon close. Let's talk about Cody.
Oh yeah.
There's people who argue he shouldn't win the title, because once he gets to the mountaintop, this will be like John Cena. Fans will turn on him. Now, I disagree. I think Cody's a better, I hate saying this, but it is true, a better interviewer or a speaker than Cena, because he's more articulate, he's more educated, he gets the pro wrestling way because he's part of the business. At this point, though, do they have to give him a title, or could they push the story back, which I don't know how, but hey, some people in WWE are like, hey, we can extend the story.
Mm-hmm. I think if Cody loses at this WrestleMania, I do not think that modern audiences, and I don't mean that in the modern audiences way, I mean that in, like, you know, just the audience that they've got right now is not patient enough to let this simmer for another year. It's not. I mean, yes, it took Dusty 3 times to beat Flair, but that was a different time. That was not a pay-per-view per month, you know, weekly, you know, episodic situation here. That was, you know, that was at a time when these things were allowed to breathe. I don't know. And, you know, when people try to, like, oh, he's got to break Hogan's record. Hogan doesn't have a record. When you're in third place, you are not the record holder. I'm sorry. And he's not beating Bruno Sammartino. So I don't see that argument that, like, oh, we got to have him beat Hogan's record. Like, no, Hogan does not have a record. I think Cody's got to win. I really do. I don't think that you can continue to tell this story for another year. I don't. Unless you do something monumental. Like, last year, they saved face with Cody because the night after WrestleMania, what happened? He started him with Brock. And that feud with Cody and Brock is fantastic. Their match at SummerSlam was my match of the year for 2023. It was so good. And, you know, say what you will about Brock, and people will say a lot, and maybe rightfully so, it is, he put Cody on the map there. I would hate to see all of that go to waste. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. So here's the other thing that does make sense, but we're trying to make sense of everything here. We keep hearing about these newer generation wrestlers, the newer guys, you know, the young studs. Right now, I'm looking at the WrestleMania card, and outside of Logan Paul, the entire roster is over the age of 36. A lot of them are pushing 40s, including Balor, Priest, Miz, R-Truth, Kofi and Xavier. When do they start? And I get it. You don't want to get rid of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But with all these guys coming up, and you know, Braun Breaker's not on the main roster, not on the main WrestleMania card. The Creed brothers, they brought him up, not on the WrestleMania. What do they have to do going forward after WrestleMania? Because you know there's this push with probably Triple H and some of his people, like, hey, we gotta get these new guys in there, we gotta get new blood. We can't really keep relying on guys to age gracefully and you know be able to do what Sting did. Rest in peace to your role model's career, because he's no longer wrestling. But
yes,
when do they push him, and when do they start phasing out some of the older guys?
I mean, I think that you have to look at what's working in terms of who is selling the most merchandise, who's popping the highest quarter hour ratings, who's autograph signings or whatever are drawing the biggest crowds. Those are the people you got to go with. You cannot, if you have a red hot baby face like Cody, for instance, and you know, you've got Cody and people love him and he's drawn money. You're not going to sideline him because, but this guy's 23. You know, like, you can't. You can't do that. You have to go with what's making you money while building the next generation, obviously. I think you're going to start seeing guys like Owens, and AJ, giving more guys the rub, so to speak. I think Braun Breaker is going to be, they're going to strap a rocket to him. And I think by WrestleMania 43, he's in the main event. But you can't rush these things either. You know, the reason it worked with Austin is because they built it. I mean, they were kind of forced to because of the injury. But I mean, like, it was a slow burn. They built that for over a year of him just like, you know, from WrestleMania 13 to WrestleMania 14. It was a brilliantly told story. I think that when you hotshot something like that, it becomes, dangerous, because then you run into the, who's the last guy that they tried to really hotshot like that? Roman Reigns. And you saw what happened with him in the early goings. It's, hey, they're pushing this guy on us when we want somebody else. Boo. You know, I think that you need to let the guys that are on top right now continue to do what's working while building things up in the background. It's that way when the handoff happens, it's not jarring. You know, like there was nothing worse than when Vince was all of a sudden like, it's the new generation. And like, or like when WCW did the new blood, it's like, no, don't tell me that we're pushing young guys. Show me that we're pushing young guys. Build them up slowly. It's when an audience can grow with a character, then you've got someone that they really will get behind. We saw it with Cena initially before he reached the top of the mountain and people turned on him. You know, you see these things are a slow burn. And when they're a slow burn, that's when they really hit. The slowest burn creates the biggest blaze. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that made any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. But unfortunately, we're running out of time. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to have on the show. I give you one of the most creative people in pro wrestling. One of these days, like, somebody's got to hire him for a job. That's how creative it is. I give you from Toontown Wrestling, I give you, it's Marvin. Now, Marvin, before I let you go, once again, where can fans check you out at? Where is the X, Instagram, the website, the YouTube channel? Where can fans hit you up at?
So the YouTube channel is youtube.com/@ToonWrestling, T-O-O-N. And, you know, we just made two really big announcements that will be announced by the time this airs. So they haven't been announced yet at the time we're recording. So Chris is getting a little insider info here. We are going to have a weekly live stream show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. called Toonie Talk Wrestling, which is going to be live stream. Folks can come on, chat, super chat, whatever you guys want to do. We're going to be there to just chat wrestling with you guys for as long as you want us to chat. I'm going to have a panel every week. People are going to come and go. You know, Chris, if you ever want to pop on, just let me know. So that's going to be coming every Tuesday. And then we are launching our Patreon at patreon.com/ToonieTownWrestling, T-O-O-N-E-Y. And we got all sorts of different levels there for people, additional content, early access to some of the content we put on YouTube, plus things like director's commentaries. I'm going to be doing little like unscripted, unplugged reviews, blooper reels, things like that. There's going to be a lot of additional stuff going up on Patreon. I'm really kind of throwing all of my like time and effort into the channel now. So it's, hopefully onward and upward, right?
I'm looking forward to it. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's Marvin from Toonytown Wrestling, a.k.a. Marvin the Movie Monster. Check him out. A lot of big, great things coming off with this site. You definitely don't want to miss it. We come back, but we got a lot more going on here, only on It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on TheLastCallPodcast.com.